Today I'm continuing the series Connected, and today we're going to talk about being connected, the branches being connected to the vine. And as I was thinking about this this sermon and praying about it, I was thinking about movies. Have you ever watched a movie where as you're watching it, as you're going through the movie, the whole time you're really just trying to figure out what exactly is going on? Like, it's kind of a weird movie. It's not really straightforward, and you're like you're really contemplating turning it off because, like, this is just bizarre. I have no idea what's happening. I'm having some trouble following. It's kind of confusing. There's a lot of twists, and there's a lot of turns, and by the time you get to the end of the movie, you might look at who you watched it with and say, what just happened? Right? Like, what did we just watch? What did we just waste our time with? This was weird, and I do not understand it. It was just too wild of a ride for me. And I've watched a few movies like that. Every once in a while, we'll pick out like a random movie. I'm going to give you a recommendation on a movie not to watch. Sometimes the weird movies are cool. And so we watched this movie called The Lady in the Van a few years back. Really, really weird. British lady, you know, in the UK living in a van. It was a bizarre movie, but it was not good. It was a total waste of time. It was this kind of movie where we got done and we all looked at each other. And if you know my wife, you can't turn off a movie. She has to watch it all. I can turn it off 30 minutes in and be like, this is stupid. I don't want to watch it. She's got to see the conclusion. We watch it all, and it was one of those where we all looked at each other and it was like, we're just like, I don't know what that was. And so now that's the benchmark when we're like, what do you think about this movie? We're like, looks a little Lady in the Van, right? Like, probably should skip that one. But isn't life sometimes a little bit like one of those kind of movies? It's kind of hard to follow exactly what in the world is going on in my life. It's like there's so many twists and turns, and as soon as I think I've got everything kind of figured out, like it's going to go like this, and all of a sudden there's some kind of plot twist, and you find it going a different direction. And sometimes, after some time has passed, you start to wonder, what is this going to end up like? Is this going to be a total waste of time? This is confusing. I'm not really sure what has happened in my life. And I think a lot of times we find ourselves really kind of searching and seeking, like, what in the world am I supposed to be doing with this movie that I'm living in? And Henry Ford said, the whole secret to a successful life. This is a great start, right? Does everybody want to know this? The whole secret to a successful life. It's to find out what is one's destiny to do and then to do it. Now, he wasn't necessarily a super spiritual man that is preaching the scriptures here, but I think there's a lot of truth in what Henry Ford has said. Find out what one's destiny is to do and then do it. And so that's what I want to do this morning. I want to discover this morning what is your destiny to do and how do you do it. Amen? Everybody in on that? You guys want to know this morning? Turn to John chapter 15. Again, we're going to be looking at this text, verse 1 through 8, for the next few weeks. Jesus says, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And so last week we looked at this from the perspective of the vine. What does it mean? What is he speaking of with the vine? We looked at Christ is the true vine. We looked at how he cleanses us by his word, how he sings over us, how he provides what we need for life, the nutrients we need for life, for health, for growth. And today I want to focus on the branches. Who's the branches? We are, right? That's you and that's me. We're the branches. And when we look at this stuff with the branches, there's going to be things that after today you're going to be like, well, what about this? What about this? Just slow your roll. We're going to look at the vine dresser or the gardener next week, which has a lot to do with what happens to the branches. I just want to focus on the branches. What is Jesus trying to relay to the branches here? Because honestly, we start with Christ because he's the center, right? He's the focus. But I want to tell you that this parable or this story that he tells here, it's really more about the branches than it is anything else, because he's speaking to the branches and he's trying to give them clarity on what to do and what will happen. But he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Say, he is the vine. Say, I am a branch. All right, we got that down. This statement this morning, he is the vine, I am a branch. I don't know about you, but I think that that would be a great way for me to start my day. You know, just that reminder, he is the vine, I am a branch. Right off the bat, puts everything in perspective for my whole day that I need to remember that Jesus is the vine, I'm a branch. Now, I don't want to say just a branch because I think that who you are is important and it's good and I don't want to belittle who you are, but we need to remember first, he is the vine, I am a branch. And if we can remember this, not only does it put our entire day in perspective, but it puts our entire day, again, focused on Christ. Because when we make a declaration that he is the vine, when we make a declaration that Jesus is God, that declaration echoes back to you that you are not. Okay, so when you make that declaration that you are God, you are the vine, it says back to you that you are not, right? I mean, how many of you guys, again, have been in a spot where you don't want to be in charge and somebody else is in charge and you're like, no, you're in charge, right? What are you telling them? You're saying, I'm not, right? I might be in a lot of cases, but in this situation right here, Mark, you're in charge. Like, we're doing what you say. What are you saying with that? I don't want the responsibility of being in charge. It's you. And we make that declaration when we say, you know what, Jesus, you are the vine. You are God, right from the beginning of your day. I'm not in charge here. I'm the branch. I'll do what you say. I'll follow you. You are God. Jesus is God. I am not. You are not. It helps us to put ourselves in proper place and to recognize where we're at in this world. Isaiah 45:18, for thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. He is the Lord. There is no other. That means even you. You're not Lord of your life. And now that we've got this mind-blowing revelation out in the open that Jesus is God, that he is Lord, and that you are not, what exactly are we and what are we to do? Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. How many of you guys are like, I got it. I'm a branch, but what does that mean? Right? What do I do as a branch? Like, how does this help me in life to be a branch? Well, when you think about branches, I don't know about you, but my mind goes to what I'm most familiar with, and I begin to think about trees. You got to remember, he's not speaking of a tree branch. He's speaking of a grapevine, a vine branch. It's a different thing. It's something we may not be that familiar with, but a branch here in the Greek is klema. Say klema. It's fun to say. You're a klema. This means the shoot of a vine or a vine sprout. You're a shoot of the vine. Have you ever heard the term baby Christian? Right? We say this sometimes about people that are first saved, that they're first born again. They're a baby Christian. How many of you might be offended right now if we said you were a baby Christian? right? You're like, I'm not a baby. I'm not a baby Christian. Listen, you're a shoot of the vine. That shoot starts out small, right? It starts out small, and then it goes through a period of growth. And when you're in, your spiritual life is in this infancy state, which we all have been in at one point when you're born again, right? It's not as if Jesus takes an old, dead, lifeless branch and just attaches it to the vine, right? You become a shoot out of the vine. Your growth, your birth comes from Christ. And so if you can picture that, when you graft something in, you just take a part of it and you splice it in together, okay? But you don't take a whole dead branch. So when we look at ourselves as a shoot of the vine or a sprout of the vine, it begins with Christ, and then our growth comes from there. So when we're born again, when we're born again, no matter what our earthly age is, we start anew in Christ. Amen. That's why you're not who you once were, but you're a new what? Creation in Christ Jesus. So all of our growth from this point on comes from His nourishment. It comes from His provision for us. And He said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit is taken away. Every branch that is in me. That means there's other branches, right? There's other branches. Every branch in me. Again, we're not going to look at this takeaway part for today. We're going to look at that next week with the vine dresser. But today's about the branches. Every branch that is in me. Every branch. Are you in Christ today? Every branch that is in Christ. There's probably people listening today, hopefully not in this room, but possibly, but definitely online, that you know, you would say, there's no way that I'm not in Christ, right? I'm definitely a branch that is in Christ. How many of you have met Christians that are certainly not in Christ? How many of you guys have possibly been a Christian who was certainly not in Christ at some point in your life? John 6:66, awesome verse, don't let the numbers throw you off. It says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. You guys ever thought about this verse? Many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Now it says from that time, so you kind of got to know what is he talking about? What happens before this? Well, Jesus is teaching his disciples about how he was rejected by his own. He's teaching about how he came to the Jews first, and the Jews rejected him, the people who knew the prophecies. They were expecting him, and they rejected him. And he goes in to talk about his body and his blood and those kinds of things. And the disciples say, this teaching is hard. Right, this teaching is hard. When they say this teaching is hard, it's not just that it was hard to understand, but it was hard to receive. It was hard to accept this teaching. In verse 61, it says, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then, if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe, and who would be astray, or who would betray him. And he said to them, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it's been granted to him by my Father. And then, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. You ever thought about this? Many disciples walked away. Many. We all think of Judas, right? Judas is the one guy. We're like, yeah, we know what Judas did. He left. He ditched Jesus after he turned him in. He's the famous one. He's the one that gets named, that gets the credit. He's got the biggest story. But people have been turning their back on Jesus for over 2,000 years. It's not just Judas. How? Why? They didn't remain connected to the vine. Here's the problem. They appear to the eye. They appear to be connected to the vine. Don't you think that Judas appeared to be connected to the vine? I believe that he appeared to be connected to the vine. You know how why I really believe that so strongly? Because I think Peter would have killed him. Don't you? I mean, Peter tried to kill the soldier. We all think about the ear getting cut off. That's because Peter was terrible with the sword. He wasn't trying to cut that guy's ear off. He's trying to cut his head off. And he was just that bad of an aim. Peter would not have put up with Judas if he didn't appear to be connected to the vine. Judas appeared, from all they could tell, to be one of them, to be someone that was faithful to the Lord, but he wasn't. Remember when Jesus said this, we read this a little bit earlier, but we studied it last week. He said, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." I want to show you what he also said. John 13, verse 10 through 11. Jesus said to him, responding to Peter in the presence of all of the 12, it said, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him, therefore he said, 'You are not all clean.'" This is what he says when Judas is in his presence. You are not all clean. When Judas was not in his presence, in chapter 15, he says, "You are all clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." See, he saw Judas for who he really was. He knew that Judas may have the appearance of being connected to the vine, but he wasn't an actual branch connected to the vine. You know that Jesus knows who is in him. It's part of why he says it over and over and over. He's not trying to convince himself. He's trying to convince the disciples. He says in verse 4 that as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. See, as we try to figure out who we are and what we should do in our lives, we go on a lot of endeavors that turn out to be fruitless, right? They turn out to be just kind of a waste of time. They turn out to be just another dead end, that another piece to that movie of all those twists and turns that we start to realize it doesn't really make much sense, and we're not sure where this is going or how this is going to end up. And the reason for that is we can only produce good fruit if we're actually connected to the vine, that is Christ Jesus. You know that we are for fruit bearing, not fruit making. Listen, this is life-changing revelation if you can get this. We're not for fruit making, we're for fruit bearing. There's a lot of times you can put the pressure on yourself where I'm not making this happen, I'm not making that happen. If you're one of those kind of people like me, I really hate when I get myself in a situation where I'm like, I cannot fix this. Right? I can't do it because I like to just be able to fix. I like to just make something happen, resolve the problem, whatever it is, and I hate being in that spot where I can't do that. But you know, our job is not fruit making, it's fruit bearing. And in Christ Jesus, we produce what we allow him to make through us if we remain in him. Colossians 1:22 says, "In the body of his flesh through death, to present to you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, if you're grounded, if you're steadfast, and if you are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." See, people get detached from the vine when they move away from the hope that is in the gospel. Guys, that's where our nation's at right now. So many people are in an uproar because they had hope in a man. Our hope is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's the true vine. Listen, I want to just tell you a really quick secret. If Donald Trump would have got reelected, it could have only been for 4 more years. We'd have been in the same spot in 4 more years. Okay, so if that's all we were hoping, it's like you would have had possibly a good 4 years and then you'd be in the same spot. Our hope has to be in Christ Jesus, the hope of his gospel. This is the one thing that brings true change, lasting change in our lives. And when we're moved away from the hope of the gospel, we can do nothing. Say nothing. That's what you can do if you're moved away from the hope of the gospel. And it's so easy to get pulled away from the hope of the gospel into trying to solve world problems, trying to solve personal problems. It's not about that. It's about what is the hope of the gospel. He said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." I don't know about you, but I a little bit take offense to that I can do nothing. I'm the kind of guy that'd be like, "Oh yeah, Jesus, watch this." Right? Because I'm that kid. Like in high school, I would have done that. Teacher would have been like, "You can do nothing." I would have been like, "Watch this, I can stand on this desk. Watch this, I can swing from the doorway." Like I would have done something, because that's just kind of the nature that I have. But listen, when he says you can do nothing, listen, he's not saying you literally can do nothing. You can still do stuff. Here's the problem is you can't do anything of eternal value. You can't do anything that's going to make lasting change, lasting difference. And those are the things that are the most important in our lives. Apart from Jesus, you do not have the ability to produce spiritual fruit. That's the problem. We can do a lot of natural stuff. We can do a lot of natural fruit. We can make some rotten spiritual fruit, but you can't make good, eternity-changing spiritual fruit. I don't think we recognize and realize how temporary the things of this life really are. I mean, really. Believe me, I can get worked up about things. I can get on an agenda and I can try to prove my point and push my point, but listen, if we're not doing that stuff for the gospel above all things, we're just wasting our time. Now, if you're in Christ and you're trying to live righteous and you're trying to do right, listen, the gospel pours over into the rest of life. I'm just telling you that if you're not rooted in the gospel, if it doesn't come back to the truth of the word of God, if it's just your opinion, your feeling, your emotion, what you want to see happen, it's a waste of your time. It's not going to be lasting fruit. Apart from Christ, we have the inability to produce spiritual fruit. You know, the things in our lives serve a great purpose. They serve a great purpose, but this is the purpose. The purpose is to help us bear spiritual fruit. Think about that. You know, we got these chairs in here. You know what these chairs are for? To help us bear spiritual fruit. You might be like, "Well, these are chairs. They're a physical thing. I sit on it. How can it help me to bear spiritual fruit?" Well, if you would look, it looks a lot more appealing than the pews did. As far as we don't have every other one closed off, it seems less restrictive. Even though they're spaced out the same distance, if you were to take out every other pew. So when you come in here, there's an openness to worship God and to put your guard down, and I can sit far enough away from other people that I don't have to think about COVID while I'm sitting in here to worship God and to hear His word, right? So the purpose of these is to help us to bear spiritual fruit, even though they're a physical item. When we think about the things of our lives and they're just tools to provide spiritual fruit. You are the branches. As a branch, you're a shoot of the vine. Here's another thing about the shoot of the vine. Not only does it start out small, but the shoot has different periods of growth throughout its life. There's what they call the primary growth, right? This initial growth. And when you think about someone who gets saved, doesn't everybody kind of have that primary growth where it's like all of a sudden they're just on fire and they're learning this and they're learning that? And like to most people sitting in the pews, they're kind of like, that stuff's not really a big deal. But it was when you first learned it. It was when you were in primary growth and you realized that Jesus didn't come into existence in the manger, right? Something like that. You may take for granted if you've been in church for 20 years, but at some point in your life, you learned that Jesus has always been, and he always will be, and it's mind-blowing because it doesn't even make sense to the natural mind, but that's the kinds of things you typically learn in that primary growth, and then you kind of have the secondary growth. Secondary growth is when you start to dig in. You start to study the word. You start to listen to other teachers and preachers and get into different things where you're like, okay, I'm getting a little bit deeper instead of just hearing a Sunday morning message. And you start to read the word for yourself, and the Holy Spirit gives you revelation because, you know, we all can have revelation of God's word. Amen? But you got to read it. Like, you don't get revelation of it just sitting on your nightstand. You got to read it. And the Holy Spirit will give you revelation. This is kind of that secondary growth. And then we have growth to the shoot happens at different rates based on the season. Anybody in here testify that there's times where you've grown a lot in some pretty weird seasons in your life? There are times where it's like, I don't feel like I'm growing at all. It kind of seems like I'm kind of just stuck in the mud over here. You know what? Sometimes when things are not moving at all is when you're going to hit the biggest growth spurt, right? It's like it appears that nothing's working on the surface, again, because we have so much focus on the appearance. It's part of why there's branches that appear to be connected to the vine that aren't, because we put so much stock in appearance. What does this look like? What do I look like? What do people think when they see me? And you begin to look at your life and you think, well, God's not doing anything here. If you would just be faithful and just trust in him and continue to seek him and pursue him, growth happens at different seasons of your life. And you don't know when those seasons are going to be. Different seasons of growth, different points of growth. I mean, you guys try to occasionally measure up to somebody else. Measure up to somebody else. Well, but by this point in their Christian walk, they were doing this. Listen, Timothy, not me, Timothy from the Bible, is pastoring a church at like 14 years old. We're all way behind. I mean, if we're going to start comparing ourselves to others, we're all way behind. By the time Paul was my age, he had planted dozens of churches. Right? And not just planted them and like, yeah, they're doing pretty good. They got, you know, 18 people and I've moved on and, you know, once in a while send them a letter, like packed out full churches, half the, you know, hundreds and thousands of people being saved kinds of churches by the time he was most of our age, okay? We can't compare ourselves to others because others started at different points and they've gone through different seasons and, you know, not even everybody grows the same in the same season. So what I'm saying is we just have to trust the process that we could have that primary growth, that secondary growth, and then we grow different at different seasons. So are we bearing the fruit that the vine is trying to produce through us? Are you saying, Lord, what are you trying to do in my life? Not what are you doing in that person's life. What are you trying to do in my life? This shoot, what happens is it forms into a bud, and the bud will eventually bear fruit. And bud is a great example of somebody that bears fruit. See how that all works together? The bud bears fruit. This shoot. I want to tell you what it is. It's really just support for the fruit. Okay, so you're the branch, you're the shoot. You're just support for the fruit. You don't produce it, you don't make it, you support it. This is what Jesus means when he says bearing fruit. If you look up that word bearing, bearing means to support or to hold up. Your job is to support fruit, to hold up fruit, not to make it, not to produce it. You're not the producer. The vine is the producer of the fruit. Spiritual fruit in our lives should be elevated above all the other things that we produce in our life because it pleases Jesus. I'm going to show you this in Colossians chapter 1. It says that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Who wants to walk worthy of the Lord? Walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That being fruitful is translated bear fruit. Bearing fruit in every good work. Holding up fruit in every good work. Supporting fruit in every good work. When you do that, it is fully pleasing to the Lord, and you walk worthy of the Lord. If you want to fully please the Lord, you bear fruit in every good work, in everything that you do. Support fruit. Hold up fruit. We're to bear it, hold it up. Another word you can use is to exalt good fruit in every good work. What's the fruit? Some of you guys are like, I got this, man. I'm a branch, supposed to bear fruit. What's the fruit? Tell me what the fruit is. Galatians 5, chapter 22 and 23. Some of you already knew where I was going. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. In every good work, we should exalt love. We should hold up love. We should bear love. How do we do that? We do that by being connected to Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit. Guys, this is it right here. When we looked at the beginning, what's your destiny to do? What is your destiny to do? What is the thing you're supposed to do with your life? You're supposed to be a branch. Like, that's your destiny. To be a branch. Sounds amazing, doesn't it? Just be a branch. Just be a branch. You got to be present. You got to be willing. You don't even really have to be able. You don't produce anything. You just have to be there. You got to be connected to the vine. How do you do it? You surrender. I love that we were singing that earlier. I surrender, right? You surrender. Allow Christ to produce the fruit of his Spirit through you, right? I don't have to produce love in my life. I just have to surrender to Jesus and let his love work through me. I don't have to produce joy. How many of you guys have tried and tried and tried to produce joy? I don't have to produce joy. I don't make fruit. I bear it. I hold it up. All I do is I surrender to Jesus. I abide in him and I let the Spirit produce joy in my life. I don't have to produce peace. I don't make it. I just surrender to Jesus. I'm connected to him, and he produces the peace in my life. I bear it. I lift it up. I hold it up. I exalt it. You know what happens to the fruit when you let it fall on the ground? It rots. You have to hold it up, right? You have to bear it, is what he's saying. It means it requires some support on your part. You don't just allow the Spirit of God to produce fruit and let it fall to the ground. It's your job. Jesus told us to bear it, hold it up, exalt it. You know that on the grapevine that grapes are produced in clusters? Some of you are walking around thinking you just got like one little grape, right? Well, if I'm having a really good day, really good, I can be kind. I can have a little bit of kindness. Really good day. That's it. I got the one grape. No, the Spirit of God produces the whole cluster in your life. The whole cluster of grapes. He does produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He does produce the whole cluster on your branch if you allow him to. Now, you have to bear it. You have to exalt it in your life. You have to say, you know what? Peace is going to be exalted in my life. The Holy Spirit has created it. He's funneled it through my life. it's going to be exalted in my life. I'm not going to let turmoil and disruption and all these distractions take away my peace. I'm going to exalt the peace of God in my life. You know what? Joy. I'm not going to be down in the dumps. I realize things aren't as they should be or as I want them to be, but I'm going to exalt joy in my life. How about patience? Right? I don't like patience. I'm not patient. So what do I have to do in my life? I have to choose to bear the fruit of patience. I have to choose to exalt patience in my life and say the fruit of the Spirit is patience, and I'm a branch, and he's the vine. Therefore, I will bear the fruit of patience in my life. I will exalt it. I will lift it up. Fruit is produced in clusters. I'm going to tell you, then, the number of clusters of fruit depends on the vine. Christ is the true vine. He is the true vine. He will produce all of that fruit in our lives. Paul told us, if you're going to boast, boast when? In the Lord. If you're going to boast, boast in the Lord. If you're going to brag, brag on the Lord. Tell of what he has done. Tell about that fruit in your life. You know, that's an amazing thing to be like, man, I have the joy of the Lord. Somebody will say, well, tell me about that. Like, such and such just happened in your life. How can you have the joy of the Lord? Well, let me tell you. Let me exalt this fruit. Let me tell you about how great my God is. I have the joy of the Lord because of what Christ has done in my life. Because I'm a branch, because I allow the Spirit to work through me, because I'm not dependent on my circumstances and the things that happen in my life, I'm connected to the true vine. He is my nourishment. He is my life source. We tell about what he has done. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. My Father is glorified when you bear how much fruit? Much fruit. A lot of fruit. When you bear it, when you lift it up, when you exalt the fruit of the Spirit in your life, the Father is glorified in heaven. God is not just glorified in our praise and our worship. He's glorified in our exalting of the fruit that he's done in our life. He's exalted by us bearing that fruit, lifting that stuff up, the fruit of the Spirit, and saying, this is greater than everything else that I have. Right? If a flood was coming through this building right now and you couldn't get out, what would you do? The things that you cared the most about, you'd begin to probably hold up in the air as high as you can. I don't want it to get this. This gets wet. I'm in trouble. You bear the fruit of the Lord above all things. You protect it. You put it up high and you say, look at this. Look at what I've got. Look at what my God has given me. It's not what you've produced. It's just what you bear. It's just what you hold up, what you exalt. Helen Keller said, true happiness is not attained through self-gratification, but through fidelity to a worthy purpose. To a worthy purpose. You know what's a worthy purpose? Telling about what God has done. That's a worthy purpose in our life. Be a branch. Bob Ross would say, be a happy little branch, right, if he was around today. Be a happy little branch. Exalt the fruit that's in your life. Be a branch with purpose. So our purpose is to hold up that fruit that the Spirit produces in our lives. Amen? So what my goal is here this morning, what I want to do in closing, I want to lead us through a prayer of repentance for a few things, and then I just want to open it up for people to be able to bear fruit, lift up the fruit that the Lord's done in your life, and share a little bit about what he's done. So if you would join me in prayer, and then we'll transition to that. But Father, we just thank you and praise you for your word. God, we thank you. We thank you, first of all, Jesus, that you are the true vine. Lord, there is none like you. You are the one, the only God, the one who's alive, the one who's working, who's moving, who's shaping, who's molding, that you're doing things that are beyond what we can even imagine in the background of our lives in the spiritual realm right now. Lord, and so we just contend for that. We contend for your purpose, for your will. We contend for your desire for it to be done in our lives. And so right now, first of all, Lord, I want to repent for the times when we try to be God. The times where we try to be in charge, when we wake up and we have our agenda and we think about all the things that we're going to make happen today. Lord, we repent for that and we declare that you are the vine and I am the branch. Lord, and as we start our day like that, we just declare, Lord, you're in charge. We're at your call. Lord, we're willing to do whatever it is that you have prepared for us each and every day. Lord, we repent for trying to produce fruit. Lord, we're not fruit producers. We're fruit bearers. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you create something in us that we're not able to create of ourselves, Lord, that you create the fruit of the Spirit through our lives, in our lives, and so we repent for all these times where we've tried to produce fruit, where we tried to make something that is of value and of significance when you and you alone are the only one who can do that in our lives. And then, Father, we repent for not bearing that fruit when it comes into our lives, that there's times where we don't feel like it. There's times where we want to submit to our mind, our will, our emotions, and be grumpy or complain, or we bear the things that are bad in our lives, and we tell everybody about those. Meanwhile, the fruit that you've produced in our lives, instead of bearing it, sometimes we let it fall to the ground and rot and go to waste. And so we just repent right now for the times where we have not held up and exalted the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We repent for the times where we've not testified of the goodness of God, of the things that you have done, because you are worthy of praise and honor and glory and recognition for being a God above all gods. Jesus, you are the Lord of lords. You are the King of kings. And we declare there is none like you. We love you. We praise you. We ask for more of you. Holy Spirit, have your way in our lives. Today, as we leave this place, as we surrender to you, Lord, let us have that continually on our minds, that you are the vine and that we are the branches. Let us be happy. Let us be content to be a branch that abides in you. A branch that remains in you will produce, will bear much fruit that you produce in our lives, and we will bring glory to your name. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.